T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Does anybody really care? As a legend in your own mind.
Howard Simon.
Did you lie to Robbie Butler and tell him that I wear non-prescription glasses to seem smart?
Jeremy White.
It's nothing personal, all right? I just happen to hate your stupid face. It's not just that you became the biggest broadcaster in America. Actually, yes, it is. That's it.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, that gives me a good idea. I may need to go binge watch Brockmire. I could use the laughs. It is a Wednesday. Good morning, Mr. White.
How are you? I thought about the same thing, Howard, by
the
way.
I could use that.
I saw it on Hulu, and I was just like, ooh, that's something I need to catch up on.
I might just, this season, he's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. I might just need that. All right.
Hey, gents. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. How do I sound? I got a new setup now.
Oh. What'd you do?
Well, they gave me a different machine box thing, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And
I like how you describe that.
Yeah, right.
Very technical.
Technical stuff. They gave me some new stuff. I'm hardwired into the internet in our house, and I'm now down on the first floor instead of up in an office.
Okay. So oh, you're on the – oh, we get more dog time.
More. Well, that's the thing. I've got a lot of ideas in this new space that I've been given. I've technically – some might call it I've stolen my wife's office – from her work for home station.
It seems cruel.
A little bit, but, you know, we're doing what we can. So I've got a new spot. I've got some ideas. Now I've got a television in front of me. I feel like, you know, a little more at home. I'm watching SportsCenter. So, you know.
What's going on in the background there? Are we washing dishes in the background?
There are some dishes happening, yes. You might even hear coffee being ground. I mean, we're a little closer to the kitchen.
That's cool.
So it's like a broadcast a little bit from a restaurant or a diner because you know.
Order 5 is ready.
You're right, exactly.
Sorry.
No, I mean, that's just, you're going to hear, yeah, there might be a little more hustle and bustle down here.
Good. That's okay. That's all right. I needed that. I need you to help me out today, okay?
Yeah, well, I've got ideas on how to do that.
I've been texting Jeremy, and I just got to give me a little latitude, listeners, to
sure.
Talk for a few minutes. And I will do my best. Jeremy knows, Brayton knows. Like, I'll break down at the drop of a coin. But I'll do my best to keep it together. Whew, man, I don't know. Jeremy, this has been a bad week. I don't share my personal feelings on the show. That's not me. To ask my wife, I don't share my personal feelings with anybody, sadly. I keep them inside. And maybe that's one of the reasons why. I mean, this week, these last 12 to 24 hours, I mean, I am flat out depressed. And I'm not going to lie. I'm standing in the shower this morning and I just started crying. Like, I was overcome with emotion. And holy moly, it's like a compilation of things. And it's a long way to get to an email that someone sent us this morning. Justin and Horsehead sent us both an email, a link to an article with an interview with an expert about grief and grieving. And what I'm reading, what he's describing is what, and I'm talking about this because this just in, I'm not the only person dealing with all this.
Of course.
And I'm very lucky. Part of this is guilt. Like, I feel guilty that I should even be depressed because I don't have the virus. I don't know anybody who has the virus. I have a job. I don't think I have to worry about not having a job. So I am very fortunate.
I've been meaning to talk to you about that, by the way.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm kidding.
No, I do. Part of it is, like, I shouldn't be feeling depressed because I've got it great. Like, I don't know what it was. There's no one trigger. You know, it's just, the stories you're beginning to see, it's I'm rambling and I apologize, but it's the I try and watch the news every day to be informed. I want to know what's important to know from my standpoint, from my family standpoint, from my job standpoint, to be up. I watch the governor's press conference. I watch the news at 5 o'clock. I watch the president's press conference. And it's just, I don't know, maybe it's all just beginning to take its toll as you see the numbers go up in the county, in the state, in the country, and the death toll goes up, and you hear all these different stories. The woman in Tonawanda who passed away over the weekend. I read a story this morning about a sports agent whose parents had been married 50 years. They both got the virus. They both passed away 6 minutes apart. I read a story about there was a story on Twitter yesterday about this 90-year-old woman who had the virus and basically said she declined a ventilator. And she said, I've had a good life. Let someone younger have it. Hmm. And it's gut-wrenching. And it's so hard. Jeremy, what gets me is, you know, the unknown. Like, when is it going to end? How much worse is it going to get? The projections of the death totals of like 100,000 to 200,000 people in this country. It's, you know, when someone deals with grief, I'm not, you know, you know what you went through. You have good days and bad days, or maybe you say, well, I have bad days and worse days, whatever the case may be. This is only degrees of bad. Like, there's no, today was a good day. I was able to talk to this, do that. Like, they're all just like degrees of bad. And I don't know. It was just really, really getting on me. And like yesterday and this morning, I came into work and I just had no desire to talk about the NFL playoffs being expanded or do clues for instant trivia or do all the things. You know, what did you tweet out yesterday? The Buffalo bracket. I mean, there's stuff out there that's good distractions. And I came in this morning and I just couldn't focus. I just couldn't think about anything other than everything that's going on in the world and how you just you wish you could like wake up and know, oh, okay, it was a movie. Okay, it was like the War of the Worlds movie. It was just a nightmare. And it's not a nightmare. And I needed to get it off my chest because it was just bothering me and I don't tell anybody about anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot to process. There's a lot that's happening. There's the, you know, ever evolving situation, as you mentioned, like numbers and realities and more stories coming out. Then there's the fact that it was predictable, foreseeable, and continues to be, you know, on a national scale, completely botched in terms of how it's been handled.
Yep.
So you kind of have to deal with like the anger of that, the frustration of that.
Yeah.
The moving goalposts of what we will now expect. So, you know, you do the best you can. And I would say that, however,
that's right. You're right. It's the moving goalposts. Like you have, there's a strategy. Okay. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing. And every day, every hour, it keeps changing, you know?
Right. And we live in a country that, you know, different states have different rights, and Florida isn't even really locked down yet, you know? So you've got places that, they value freedom more than anything, than safety. And you'll have some states that have different outcomes than other states. And it's difficult to watch happen. It's like a slow moving, but also fast moving wreck. And, you know, I mean, just, I put an article up in my Tom Brady piece. One of the best articles that I've read on this whole thing was written on March 15th. And it was basically just that what this is going to do is make a lot of people question that whole, you know, the United States is the best country in the world, or the strongest this, the best at that, the best at that. And it's like a lot of that is going to be a myth. They're going to be revealed to be a myth. We just, you know, for a lot of people, they just kind of accept or believe that we're better at everything than everyone. And that's just definitely not true. And especially definitely not true in a case like this. And, you know, we're going to, as a nation, you know, hopefully, I don't know, science comes along and saves us sooner or later. But there will be a very long period of, like, this is what I get to when Adam Schefter kind of talked about this with Scott Van Pelt yesterday. He kind of, not quite broke down, but he said, you know, league is focused on going forward, never mind all what we're about to see of, he said, carnage in the streets. Like, and that's what I was getting at yesterday. When people say, oh, man, the Chinese Basketball League isn't starting up, I guess that means two more weeks without the NBA. And I think, you realize by the time the NBA is ready to come back, we're not going to talk about the NBA. Right. We're going to talk about all-knowing someone that, you know, fell victim to this in one way or another. So, yeah, I mean, I think what you're experiencing today is something that a lot of people experience on another day. So some days you feel like you can get through. Some days you feel like it's been forever. It's March 32nd, right? March never stops.
Today's that day.
I know, right? Well, it's April 1st. You've turned the calendar to a new
April.
Month.
That's right.
And I think it's whatever. It's something people can identify with and understand that there are going to be days that are harder than others, and there are going to be really low points. And then, you know, we talk about the high point that you come out with, where once it's over, we get back to hopefully a life that is normal and hopefully a society that has improved a certain number of things, including, you know, access to health care, among other things. Then, you know, we come out of it and we learn from it. So,
but it's hard to envision that day, right? You know, that's part of it for me is that, you know, everybody says, hey, it's at some point, life will be back to normal. People will go back to work. Sports teams will resume their seasons and all that. And it's so, first off, it's, you know, I don't need the whole keep sports in proper perspective. I've always been able to do that. I don't know. I mean, if you think sports is more important than life and death, you're nuts. So I don't, this is not anything about that. It's just, it's hard to project that. Like, you can't tell, hey, Howard, don't worry about it. By September 15th, this will all be over. Like, no one can give me, like, okay, I've got my calendar up. I'm going to X out each day as we get through, got through March 31st. We're one day closer to, but there's no, like, end date. Like, that's part, I think, of the process that's tough to handle is no one can tell you, we'll all be good by September 1st, and everybody's going to be okay by then. Just make it to September 1st. You can't. There's no way to – nobody has any idea of, you know, how bad's it going to get in New York. Maybe it'll be – you know, as it comes down in New York, what if it goes up in Illinois? I mean, it's just there's no rhyme and reason to all this stuff.
Yep. No, I mean, I understand. That's why I was excited about yesterday because I came up with a few different things that we can do that will be fun. I actually have like a couple stories of good news.
Yeah, I need good news.
Or ways to pass the time. Yeah. The one thing that happened yesterday that was, I mean, it put a smile on my face was, you know, here's a story about sports and the role that sports plays in our lives, even though we don't have sports right now. You know, you could talk about – sometimes you talk about, you know, your college basketball team that you love or the high school basketball team you played for or your daughter's soccer team that won states. You know, like sports and competition, it's a way to mark the years and it's a way to kind of get through a lot of different things. So yesterday, just one of my favorite things in a long time has happened. I've talked to you a lot of times about how when I went to Clemson 2 years ago for college football, how they were the nicest people in the world, right?
Yep.
You can't find nicer people than Clemson tailgating football fans. We wore Syracuse gear the whole time. We didn't pay for a single drink. We got invited to tailgates. We made friends. And there's a guy down in Clemson who's in my phone. He's in my phone as Jerry Clemson because his name is Jerry. And I don't know what his last name is, and I don't really need
but
to know.
How you remember him.
Right. Yeah. He's Jerry from Clemson.
Right.
So we met Jerry Clemson on the Friday before the game out at the bars, and he's out there with his family. And he said, you know, y'all come to our tailgate tomorrow. We'll feed you really good. Here's where we are. So we did go over to his tailgate, and sure enough, you know, fed us. We talked football. We talked about the Orange, about Clemson, and just had a real good time. And he's, you know, he's talking about, you know, if I ever get back up there, we got to get up to Syracuse for a game. You know, we'll get together with you guys. So anyway, last year Clemson's in the national championship game, right? They lost, right? They lost to – who'd they lose to? Alabama? No.
LSU.
LSU. Yes, that's right. Okay, so Clemson loses to LSU. They won the title, though, the year before.
Right.
So, like, every time Clemson's got a big game, I'll text Jerry Clemson and be like, oh, rooting for you boys. You know, I hope everything goes well. Hope things are good. And, you know, he'll write back. So yesterday afternoon, middle of the day, I'm doing nothing. I get a text from Jerry Clemson. And it says, how are you and your family? Are you guys doing okay? Are you safe?
Yeah.
And I wrote back, yeah, you know, he might think that we're in New York City, but sees the numbers in New York.
Sure.
And I said, yeah, my wife and I are working from home. We're doing, you know, we're doing what we can to stay home and help stop the spread or flatten the curve or all the stuff that's, you know, that's pitched as why it's important.
Yeah.
And I wrote that back and said, you know, hope you're doing well too. Yeah. Just end of the conversation. Yeah. You know, hopefully everything, eventually we come through this and we'll see you back at Clemson someday. Hmm. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. You know, have a good day. Stay safe. And it just kind of hit me. Like, here is a random stranger from South Carolina that I met at a football game 2 years ago. And for one day, and we might have had two beers and a rack of ribs at a tailgate. And he texts me because he thinks, I know somebody in New York.
Yeah, right.
You know? And without sports, without college football, without the ability to tailgate, to go to a game, to be in that atmosphere, to just, you know, be social and meet new people, that doesn't really happen.
Right.
So it is just that was like a good moment for me. I appreciated that because, you know, if you think about your life, and especially someone like you, who of course is not only a big sports fan, but it's been part of your life professionally, like the number of people you've met, the number of people that will text us from Kansas, Missouri, John in Virginia, who called yesterday, who was battling the virus and was able to listen to us. And hopefully he's listening again today, John. We're still thinking about you. We will every single day. Like, you know, that it's a part of it, I think, is that the connection, you know, you have the connection from social interaction that you would normally have. You have it when you live in a community, and then you have it when you have sports, you know. When I'm in the camper a lot, and whoever our neighbor is that day, we talk or whatever. It's the force that drives me to tell people, hey, if you're ever traveling anywhere, wear a Bills or a Sabres hat, because you're going to the Las Vegas airport with a Sabres hat on, and a guy that works TSA will say, hey, go Sabres, I'm from Buffalo. And then boom, next thing you know, you're talking about the Sabres with somebody who's just kind of a random person.
It's communal. Yeah. Like you're not a stranger, you're friends, and you know, it's like you've known each other forever because you happen to have the cap on for the team that he also roots for, or she also roots for. It's a nice connection. You know, it brings people closer together. Well, you and Jerry from Jerry Clemson, you know, are you on the phone? Is Jeremy Syracuse? Do you know if it, I'm just, I do like that. I mean, I do that part of our job. It's funny. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I look at people. I've always wondered, like, you know, you want to go through life and make a difference in the community, right? And I thought, what the hell do we do? we sit on the radio and we talk about sports. Like, that's not making a difference in the community. We're not fighting fires. We're not in the medical business. We're not healthcare workers. We're not teachers who can, like your mom, who made an impact on people and changed their lives. And I thought, what the hell do we do? You know, I pick the Bills for a living. Like, what's the point of all this stuff? And I'm not saying this because I'm looking for a pat on the back, or I don't need my ego to be stroked. But one of the things that's helping me get through this, honestly, is when all of us get the tweets. You get them, Bulldog gets them, Shope gets them, Sal, everybody's getting them. The occasional tweet from someone that says, hey guys, thanks for being there. Like, thanks for being on every day and doing what you do. You know.
Yeah. 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 John in Virginia is listening. He just texted. So there you go.
Yeah, his story yesterday just rocked me.
Yeah, he is.
Just rocked me.
He's listening. Amy writes in, keep your chin up. We'll get through this. She writes, I'm still essential, so I can get out of the house. I feel terrible for the people who can't.
Yeah,
I'm better than most. My family's a healthy family. I listen to you guys every morning.
Yeah, we're healthy. Well, like, that's it. Like, and I get out of the house. I know you're doing the show from the home studio. I like getting in the car and making my 10-minute drive to work, and I'm taking we're all wiping everything down. We've got sanitizer all over the place. Every microphone, every computer keyboard, every console we're at, everything is being wiped clean. But I need to get out of the house and come in here.
Yeah,
it does
one
help.
One thing, you know, the reason I've got a new setup, you know, it's everybody's got their own version of what's going on in their life, and some have it obviously much worse. Some are battling the virus itself or the uncertainty. And one of the things, this new setup I have makes it so, because Chris and I, Bulldog, have been sharing an access unit, this little nuclear football that I would do the show with, and then I would walk the nuclear football over to his house, and then he would bring it over. And I'd see two people in the world, which is my wife and Chris, and we'd pass this back and forth, and whenever we get it, we wipe it down. Mm-hmm. Well, now they've got me this new setup, we don't have to do that. So I won't see Chris, we won't be passing it back and forth, we each have our own technical equipment to broadcast from home. So, I mean, that's great, right? The fewer people you see, the better. You know, the thing is, and he's talked about this on the air, his wife works in healthcare. His wife will be, you know, one of these that we see on the front lines that is in a hospital working and doing everything she can. And, you know, I think about the stress that comes with that, with having a family member. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something that is super... It's weird to say, like, my mom died 2 months ago, a little over 2 months ago, in a car accident, which was very unexpected, right? I mean, it's a shock. And part of what I've felt through this process, through this this last month, is that, you know, of course, I miss her, and I want nothing more than her to be here. But if she were here, like, how worried would I be?
Right.
She'd be immunocompromised, and I'd be very, very worried every day,
right.
every single day about her, and if she's going to be healthy, and if she can get to the doctor, and if she can. So I think about people that, you know, it's part of the mantra that everybody has their own battle. My battle is losing my mom unexpectedly. And now people that haven't gone through that, well, they have a battle of worrying about their
sure.
mom in
sure.
this kind of scenario. So, you know, it's just an odd feeling of thinking, I'm so glad I don't have to worry about her, which is selfish because
I'd be
a worrier.
I get
and
it.
And she'd be a worrier too.
And you can't do anything about
there's
it.
Not, right. There's nothing I can do about it. So,
right.
It's I mean, saying I'm taking a positive from it is not what I'm doing, but it's very much I feel for people that are going through that maybe worry about their parents, worry about, you know, they can't visit a parent or something like that. So I think it's important to realize that it's global, right? Everybody's going through it.
Yeah.
So that's part of what makes me think whenever I hear, oh, well, you know, Gary Bettman's hoping to get things back by August. I think, buddy, your league doesn't matter. Sure, it does. But we got some stuff going on. You know, I know you want to stay present and stay in our minds. And trust me, like, we'll all get back to, you know, the right stuff when the right time comes. But sometimes it does come across as, I'm sorry, what are we doing? What's
right.
happening here?
Right.
So
I think about, your story is a good one. Look, my mother-in-law lives with us, so we see her all the time. She's in our house, and for good or bad, I mean, not everybody's healthy, but if, God forbid, if she started exhibiting symptoms or anything was wrong, we're there. We see it. My mom, it just celebrated her 90th birthday last week, and she's down on Long Island. She's, you know, she lives by herself. One of my brothers is 5 minutes away, so he can check on her, but no one's going into the house. You know, they'll drop off some groceries for her. She doesn't go out. She doesn't see anybody. You know, I call her every few days just to make sure she's all right. And, you know, I called her last Saturday, and she was feeling a little bit dizzy, and I thought, is everything okay? She tends to get dizzy anyway. That's an issue she's had for years. But the slightest little thing, you're like, are you okay? Do you need to go see Bud? You know, and I'm 400 miles away. And like you said, you know, if you have an ailing parent and you're in the same town or even whatever, you can always drive and say, hey, let me help you out. If you got a cold, you got the flu, you're not feeling well, I'll come to the house. I'll take care of you a few days. You can't. You know, you got to stay away from everybody. So it's tough because you want to be there for a parent. And I mean, not that I can do anything anyway, because I'm in Buffalo and she's on Long Island. But even if you wanted to go help out, you can't because you're not supposed. You got to stay away from the elderly people. You're not supposed to be near them. It's better to be. We all need to self quarantine, and I'm trying to follow all the regulations. So that's you know, one of the many things that are going through my head. And like all, it's like I don't know. It's like a meteor shower. All these things are all of a sudden are just firing at me, and they're all hitting me.
You know, and then it's not to. There's another group of people that maybe you're not worried about somebody that's older. You don't have someone like that in your life. There are also people that deal with loneliness and anxiety and depression and, you know, all these conditions that would be triggered even more so. If you're someone that has health anxiety, you're someone that maybe thinks that something's wrong with you a lot.
Yep.
maybe that's me a little bit.
This is a bad time to have that. Yeah.
It really is. Like,
right.
I mean, sometimes
right.
you know, people that haven't battled any sort of real true anxiety don't really understand that it does take a physical toll on your body. And you know, one of the things you might feel might make you think that you're sick, no matter what this illness is. It's just so there's. We're all carrying a load, I think, is how it works. And I don't think it's, you know, you have to be ashamed of that at all. And, you know, if you are what we're talking about doing, like my wife and I, if you are someone who you're both still working, then when you do order out, you know, leave tips, leave big tips, make donations, donate to Western New York Feed the Frontline, which is going to buy from local restaurants,
yep.
and donate to Meals on Wheels and the food bank, which just before this whole thing started, I mentioned once on the before, I got a chance to tour the Meals on Wheels facility in Buffalo, the Feed More Western New York, just to see how many people are putting on such a big operation for people that need to be fed of all ages. And those numbers are going to go up. So, you know, if you are someone that can still donate or still do something because you're still working or you just have the ability to, you know, some people won't be able to, and that's totally okay. Meals on Wheels, you know, as much as it's about restaurant workers and people at the hospital getting fed, it's also about everybody. So, you know, there's plenty of we're all in this together conversations about a lot of different things. And this time it is probably more true than anything before.
I think that's for me, Jeremy. I think doing things like that, I donated yesterday because, you know, you brought it up on the show. And you know, by the way, you're really good at some of your ideas. Maybe not the Bordering Canada division, but, you know, the other day when you said, hey, you want to help out the place where you get your haircut? Go get a gift card. So when they resume business, look, you know, they're making money while they're shut down. So I donated yesterday, and it made me feel good. You know, I need things that make me feel good. The other day, I was, you know, going through the internet, and I was at Yahoo Sports' website, and they have a link called the Good News Tracker. And they just put up stories that are good news that make you just feel better. People donating, people helping, whatever the case may be. And I had to look at it because I needed some good news. The donation made me feel better. I gave blood last week, and that made me feel better because I feel like part of the frustration is, what can I do? Okay, I can self-quarantine. I can order groceries online and not go to the store. I can do all these things that they're telling me to do to be safe. And yet I feel like I wish I could do more to help, you know? So like donating blood and donating money and doing whatever, to me, at least something like that, you know, it makes you feel good because you feel like you're helping others who are out there on the front line and out there in need of things. But that's all part of the frustration too. And it's interesting. You mentioned, you know, how people are dealing with all this and if you have health issues and all that. A couple of quick stories. So I had to go to the chiropractor this week. My back's out. So I went to this is a guy I've gone to for 20 something years. So I went in the office, and all of a sudden, the woman who runs the office is not there. He is there by himself. He is running his office, and they take all the precautions. Nobody's in the waiting room. Each person, you come in, you go right to a room. You literally don't see anybody other than the doctor. But the woman who runs the office isn't there, and she was, you know, having concerns, and she's not the only one, about patients and whether everybody is safe and all that. So he said, look, take some time off. I'll run the office. Don't you worry about it, because it was really beginning to get to her. Jonathan went for a sandwich yesterday, right? And the guy whose restaurant he went to get the sandwich to go talked about how some of the employees are really stressed out. They're having a tough time, even though it's takeout only. Like, the restaurant area is roped off. The chairs are up on the tables. Some of the employees are really struggling with, like, don't want to come into work because they're afraid of coming into work.
Yep. Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's a lot to be you just want to be kind to as many people as you can, because everybody's going to be battling some version of, whether it's stress, anxiety, or the actual illness or loss, or, you know, the anger about the lack of preparedness, or the anger about people that don't follow the protocols. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of different things that kind of add into it. So, well, I mean, there's, you know, we can talk about a lot of different stuff. I do have fun stuff for you today, which is good. I'm excited about
that. Actually, this helped. I'm not going to lie. I mean, the first segment, just talking to you about it, you're, wow. I just made you my significant other in this conversation today. So it just actually did help getting it off my chest. So.
Wait till I was going to write. It's funny. I thought about writing this week at our website. You know, we're still writing articles. Last week, I wrote about Tom Brady. I was thinking about writing something super personal this week because, I don't know, just because I think that people are into the outlet of talking with each other. Like, it does help. So
it does.
I'm not sure if I will or not. I've got it's just this quote that I came across a month ago that that we're getting framed, but the frame store's closed, right? So we got to wait a little longer for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I do have fun scheduled for today.
Okay.
I've got some ideas. I've got a small version of the Buddy Nix game I'd like to move forward with.
Okay.
It's a very simple concept. It's just like Real Bill, Fake Bill. But it basically, all it is this streaming on Netflix? And that's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Because the shows, there are some crazy shows.
I might be really bad at this game.
Well, that's the whole idea will be, I will make one up, and I will give you a real one,
and you
guys have to guess which one of these is streaming on Netflix.
Okay.
Or whatever, one of the streaming services. The other idea I have today is, if you want competition, you want sports, and you want to start your gambling life, now that I've moved into the downstairs studio here at home, and there's a television on, I can put the television on the Animal Planet, and we can start taking bets on how long it will be until our youngest dog, Betty, freaks out, barks, and loses her mind. I can call play-by-play. You know, Joe Buck's been doing play-by-play.
I want that. I want in.
Okay. So it's sometime today, and, you know, maybe once a week we can go betting with Betty. This is an idea that I had. We'll set the over-under at 30 seconds, and I'll change the channel, and then we'll see. I mean, you know, you won't miss it.
Well, now when this happens, like, do you really mess with Betty? Or, like, the minute a dog comes on TV, do you immediately reach for the remote and change the channel? Or do you let it go for, like, 30 seconds just to see how she freaks out?
Well, most of the time we don't know what's happening. If you leave a TV on and leave the room,
okay,
all of a sudden she's freaking out. Because, and you, you know, sometimes it'll scare you. If you're dozing off on the couch,
right?
You know, she'll bark and attack as if someone is coming. Yeah, so, I mean, it's... Then there's other times where I was practicing with this yesterday. I turned on Animal Planet and put on the Puppy Bowl. And sometimes, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes she'll just walk up to the television and look at it and decide, not yet. Not yet. Who am I going to bark at?
Oh, my goodness.
And then if a dog is running,
yeah,
that dog gets the treatment. Or if you're watching Animal Planet, she'll see, you know, lions and walk up to them and decide, when's the time? When am I going to bark? And... Yeah, so that's why it's gambling. It's not just always instant. Sometimes there's a slow creep and then the attack.
I just figured the first sign of a dog on TV, she just immediately just starts yelping.
So. Oh, that's it. That's it too.
Okay.
Yeah. So some, you know, that's the over under, if it's at 20 seconds, sometimes it'll be 2, sometimes it'll be 35, because I guess that's how I don't know. She's a dog, right?
I also think I'm trying to find something fun, but I guess it's fun.
I have one more.
I've got a good stat of the day that's fun I can share when we get back to. Go ahead.
The other idea I have, you know, we should start ranking things. And by that I mean we should really get into the minutiae, the for instance, like the Bills coaches, right? Let's rank all the Bills coaches in Bills history. Well, there are 20 of them. There are 20 Bills coaches.
Oh, I know who number one is. It's
sure,
Marone.
Marv's number
it's
one, right?
No, it's Marone. What are you talking about?
But in all seriousness, like a lot of the rankings that you've ever seen are the top 10, the top 5. I want to do all of them. I want to rank every Bills coach. I want to rank every Sabres goalie. So then we're down to like, all right, 35th. What do you think? Is it Bob Essensa or, you know?
Does Yaroslav Halak make this list?
Michael Norbert.
Exactly. Yaroslav Halak, did he not play a game, right?
He dressed for a game.
He dressed but didn't play. So is he better than a guy that dressed? Like if we get down to the way at the bottom of rankings, we can have a lot of fun with that. Bills coaches, Sabres goalies, you know, best we'll think of some things, but getting down to the bottom, I think, would be as much fun. Kind of like the Hall of Fame rejection committees that Chope and the Bulldog used to do.
Right.
Because we're super late for the break. I found one fact about a Bills coach that blew my mind already about Harvey Johnson.
Okay.
You know anything about Harvey Johnson?
No. What
I'll
was
tell
he in the 60s,
him.
I think, right? Maybe
he had 2 coaching stints with the Bills. I'll tell you about him when we get back. Harvey Johnson, your new favorite Bills coach.
803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. You want to just call and say hi and talk, man or woman. We're here for you this morning here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Who Harvey Johnson is? Harvey Johnson. Are there headlines today?
Yes, there are headlines today. NFL owners have voted to expand the playoffs to 14 teams, effective next season. The one seed will now be the only team with a bye on Wild Card Weekend. We will have triple headers on Saturday and Sunday of Wild Card Weekend. That's glorious.
I like it.
Isaiah McKenzie spoke with Western New York Media yesterday about re-signing with the Bills. We've got that covered with an article from Sal, if you want to see what Isaiah had to say. At WGR550.com. You asked yesterday, Mr. White, about the NFL schedule release.
Yeah, May 9th. What are they doing to me?
Yeah, it's delayed.
What?
That's the latest date for the release.
I thought I saw that they claimed that wasn't a delay. That was when they planned on it.
Yeah, that's baloney.
I mean, what? May 9th?
Yeah, no, they're lying. My guess is they're trying to push this as long as they can to see, are we going to have a full season? What's, you know, that's another month plus away. What's going on with the virus? And
well, here's our new segment called Here's Why That's a Bad Idea.
I need the schedule.
Yeah.
I really do. I need the schedule badly.
We'll make you pick the Bills every day.
You want to pick the Bills. Look at you.
No, I just need to think about a season being
what
played.
What a strange world we live in
no,
now. You want to pick the Bills.
I do not want to pick the Bills. I just need to think about, I need to see something in front of my eyes that says, hey, look, a game's going to be played in September.
Yeah.
Even if it isn't. NFL's planning on a full season with fans in the stadiums. Chris Godwin is giving his number 12 to Tom Brady. Godwin will now wear number 14 for the Bucs. This is a note to just put in your brain somewhere. Arizona is having talks with the representatives for DeAndre Hopkins about a contract adjustment. He has 3 years left on his deal. I mention it because that might have an impact on what could happen with Stephon Diggs, who's got 4 years left on his contract.
I had another good thought about Diggs, by the way, that'll appeal to at least my generation, I think. Well, I can tell you about that after I tell you about Harvey Johnson. Just remind me.
The NHL extends the self-quarantine for players to April 15th. Toronto cancels all public events in the city through June 30th. However, that does not apply to the pro sports teams. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 7 o'clock. Harvey Johnson, Stephon Diggs.
Okay, Harvey Johnson. So I was looking up Bills coaches of the past because I thought we should rank Bills all-time coaches, you know, from 20 to 1. It'd be interesting to see where McDermott falls in there. Top five.
Yeah, he's in the top. Well, yeah, it's a short list.
Right, yeah.
And, well, it's actually only a list of five in the top five.
So. Well, it's funny. Anytime you talk about bad Bills coaches, I think that you kind of immediately go to who? Hank Bulla?
Him and Kay Stevenson.
Okay, right. Hank Bulla was 4-17. Kay Stevenson was 10-26. Well, sir, let me introduce you to Harvey Paul Johnson, who was a coach of the Bills in 1968 and again in 1971.
So he would have come after Saban, maybe? I don't even know. Okay,
he came after Joe Collier.
Joe Collier, okay.
And then Harvey Johnson, and then John Roush.
Yes, and there was a Jim Ringo in there somewhere.
Jim Ringo's after all this.
Okay, gotcha.
So Harvey Johnson coached in 68 and then again in 71. And you're probably thinking, well, he must have had such a successful season in 68 that they brought him back, right? Harvey Johnson was 1-10-1 in 1968 with the Bills, and then was 1-13 the second time around. 2-23-1, and in his Wikipedia page, they link an article from the Olean Times Herald by Chuck Pollock.
Wow, Chuck. Yeah, I know Chuck. Okay.
So he wrote about Harvey Johnson. Maybe we should get him on the show to talk about Harvey Johnson. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is said about Harvey Johnson with the Bills is that it was speculated that he got the job because both he and Ralph loved horse racing.
I absolutely would buy that.
100%. And that basically he stayed on the payroll because he liked horse racing, and so did Ralph.
I believe that. I really do.
1968 was a different time,
totally
not for football teams.
Either that or Ralph Wilson was tanking before nobody knew it.
Right.
And was going for the higher pick, although I don't think they had the draft between the two leagues, whatever they call it, when they merged in 1970, and they had, because they had separate drafts in 68. But yeah, Ralph was, I buy the tennis, or the horse racing store, I was going to say tennis. Because Ralph would just hire people that he liked to work with. So I don't think the record really matters. Just, you know, that Saban guy was a headache. I know this guy only won one game, but you know what? Harvey, come on back. I like you. You know,
let's do it again.
Come on back.
You were 1-10-1 the first time around.
Yeah. That's not good. So yeah, so you're saying Harvey would be at the bottom of the list?
I would think so.
Near the bottom,
Near the bottom. But it would be interesting. Like, Does Chan make the top 10?
Yes, but I don't know that it's as much about Chan as it is about the list guys of coaches the Bills have had in the history of the franchise.
I thought about, you know, if we did this, do we include the interim coaches? I would
think you do?
Okay. I mean, I don't want to...
Perry Fuel. Yeah, that's hard. That's hard.
I don't want to go either way on it. I don't want to think they were bad because they were interim coaches. They never got a chance to do what they probably would have done. Anthony Lynn, you know, so I feel like you wouldn't include them, but I don't want to exclude them. So
you know, I could only think... Wow, I'm not sure you can get beyond five really good coaches on this list. It's really slim pickings. It's a fun exercise, but one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, I got five, and the fifth is, I'm not sure how strong the fifth is, but relative to the rest of the field.
Well, how many teams would be able to say they had five good coaches? Chances are if you had one, he stayed forever, right?
You know who would be fun to do this with?
Pittsburgh.
The Jets.
Oh, the Jets.
Well, the Jets only have three guys. The Steelers only have three guys for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
So the list wouldn't be hard, but the Jets. Like, I'd love to go through the list of all-time Jets coaches and try and figure out who was good. So that's a pretty short list,
Bill
too.
Bill Parcells was good.
Herm Edwards did make the playoffs.
Herm Edwards was good.
And there's a lot of bad coaching there.
I mean, is Rex Ryan one of their top five coaches?
Yeah. He got the back-to-back AFC title games.
Right.
For their franchise, that's significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then but it's funny. So Rex is in their top five, probably. Where the heck is he on the Bills list? Bottom 10. I mean, I don't know about bottom five.
No, he's definitely not bottom five. He's about 500. He's better than Geron.
Oh, wow. I can't wait for this discussion.
He's better than Geron. He's better than Malarkey. Right?
I'm not sure.
Where does quitting get you? Isn't quitting not dock you points?
So Marone loses points.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, he was a saint.
He got a 9-7 season. Don't forget about that. Very important to point that out.
With a meaningless ninth win, with an asterisk on the ninth win. Yeah, it's a funny, the day we do the show of Rex Ryan versus Dick Geron, go. Oh boy, I'm going to need some alcohol nearby.
A lot of that will be about expectations. Like Rex was supposed to win.
Right.
And Geron was very much, well, it's hard to win.
You know? Right. Because Rex came here. Well, Geron had like one really good year in Chicago. But Rex came here and we thought, hey, that guy did go to AFC title games with Mark Sanchez. And hey, he had a really good defense. And look, he knew how to battle with New England, even beat him up there in a playoff game, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I think to me Rex is towards – he's more towards the bottom or the second half of the list because I expected better from his tenure here, and it didn't hit that point. It was very disappointing, his short time. I shouldn't even use tenure. His short time with the Bills.
Other thing I was thinking about.
I'll get the Jets list. You keep the Bills list.
I was looking at some projections. We do this a lot with NFL guys. Mike Clay is an NFL guy. NFL Network, ESPN. Let me click on his profile to find out which one. I'm sorry. ESPN, Mike Clay. So he's got positional projections for every team in the league, right, which is quarterback, running back, receiver, and then a score, which is their score on a scale of 0 to 4, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's analytics stuff, right? But there's something about this list that's very, very different than it's been probably in the history of people scoring things with numbers like 0.1, 1.7 analytics stuff, mm-hmm. and that's that the Bills stack up better than the Patriots in a lot of spots.
Really?
They're much better.
Yeah.
On offense, they're better at quarterback, wide receiver, tight end. That's never happened, right?
Yeah.
And the offensive line is the Patriots have the advantage there. We'll see how that plays out this year. That's one of the things I'm more interested in than most regarding the Patriots.
I read an article.
Is all of a sudden, is their offensive line not that good?
Right, and their offensive line coach retired, who used to make great players out of average talents. I read an article yesterday from NBC Sports in Boston that said the expansion of the playoffs, the addition of a third wild card, is huge for the New England Patriots. Because the extra wild card spot might be the only way they make the playoffs next season. Hmm. Right? Wow. We're at that now with the New England Patriots. Thank goodness there's an additional wild card spot because that's how they might actually get in with like a 9-7 record. Jets coaches, in the history of their franchise, only two coaches have a winning record in the history of their franchise. And one of them was 9-7 one year on the job. So there's one coach who coached multiple seasons. No. The one year guy, Al Groh. He was 9-7 in 2000.
Wow.
Former Virginia coach, I believe.
And so, the other one's Parcells?
Parcells. He is the only coach to coach more than one season with the Jets and have a winning record.
Rex was probably over 500 right before that final season where they go 4-12.
Yeah,
right?
He ends up 46-50 with them.
Okay.
So he had, he had to be over 500. So that's, there you go. Ranking Jets coaches. 803-0550 to join us. Thanks. You're making me feel better, Jeremy. I appreciate it. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, I've got a stat of the day. We'll get to a call, too. Jeremy, you are part of the stat of the day today. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You have contributed to the stat of the day.
Handsomest co-host? Is that it?
I'm working on that one. I'll have that for next hour. Stat of the day brought to you by Strategic Financial Solutions. Love where you work, Strategic Financial Solutions. This is from Nielsen. I only thought they did TV ratings, but apparently not. Nielsen says alcohol sales for the week ending March 21st, up 55% in the United States. Sales of spirits are up 75% compared to last year. Tequila, gin, and pre-mixed cocktails are leading the way. Wine sales are up 66%. Beer sales are up 42%. And people are practicing quarantining and getting their adult beverages online. Nielsen says online alcohol sales are up 243%.
That might be in part because they've been deemed an essential service.
The alcohol sales or purchasing the alcohol sales are an essential service. Well, probably both. So, yes, they are. And so there you go. That is my stat of the day. For those of you that have been purchasing your alcohol online, you're not alone. The stat of the day brought to you by Strategic Financial Solutions.
One development in my studio switch from upstairs to downstairs is I am next to the beer fridge. We have a beer fridge now.
Oh, see, we have a wine fridge. You have a beer fridge.
We have a beer fridge. Well, and part of our, you know, we did some stuff over the summer and fall redesigning our house. You know, I wanted this little beer fridge for the corner. So, you know, you don't clog up the regular fridge.
Sure.
So I got a beer fridge.
That's nice. Hey, we got a Harvey Johnson story to get to, apparently.
Okay.
Well, let's go to Larry. All right, Larry, what are you going to tell us about Harvey Johnson, that famed Bills coach?
Oh, good morning, guys. My cousin used to know his son, and his son used to always tell my cousin, he said, every time Ralph Wilson would fire a coach, he'd always go to Harvey Johnson. Harvey would actually hide from him in the office. He didn't want nothing to do with it. He was happy where he was. So he really didn't want to be head coach. So I put a little asterisk next to that.
Right. So he was hiding under the desk knowing Ralph was walking the hallways looking for the next head coach.
Yeah, I think that's the story.
That's good.
Kay Stevenson was my personal worst. I had a funny story. I was sitting behind the bench for one of the games, and I was yelling at him, and you know, he was terrible. So Fred Smirlis and Jim Haslett had a radio show. I think it was on your
on BEN. It was on WBEN.
BEN. Okay.
Yeah.
And they got on the radio station after that game, and they said on the radio, they said, if we would have ever caught that guy, we couldn't find him in the stands yelling at our coach, we would have went up there and killed, you know, got him, you know. But that was me. I was yelling at the coach the whole game. I just want to tell you one April Fool's joke I played on my girlfriend. I told her, I actually played it yesterday because I figured, I don't know if that counts, but.
I don't think you can play an April Fool's joke on March 31st.
Yeah, then it's just called a prank.
Yeah.
I guess that kills the thing. But anyways, I told her that I was, WGR really liked the way I talked, so they said I'd come in for 1 hour and fill the gap. They said they needed people to fill the gap. And I said, but I told them no because you wouldn't let me come out of the house. And she said, no, you can go. And I said, no, they told me it's too late. And they said, you can come in, but you can't talk too much. And I said, well, it's a problem right there.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have all 4 hours. Just let me know what day you're available, and we'll have a pass left for you.
And Howard, you're doing a great job. You know, keep it up. You know, we all have those days. And sticking out your door, good.
Well, I got a hell of a co-host. I'm not going to lie. Just talking to Jeremy this morning made me feel so much better. It made a big difference. So
here's one way we could maybe cheer people up. So a texter, Jay, pointed out that today is the 1 year anniversary of an epic rant
April
on
1st,
this show,
last year.
And we have it.
Huh?
Question is, like, do we play that?
Well, there were no cursing involved, right?
So. This, you know, so rants have names, right? They come, they end up getting titles.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of the topic. I'm guessing it was you, and I'm trying to think of the topic.
This was me. It was a little bit of you.
Yeah, you
this
had some details on it.
See, because I know he's about to explode, and I kind of tweak him a little bit. I think.
But I know you were ranting, but then I interrupted you.
Oh.
It was the blame the good players rant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could. It's okay to play it.
Would it bring joy to the world to hear someone be obnoxiously mad about a hockey team?
It would make me feel better.
Okay.
Maybe we'll
play some highlights.
We're in hour number two officially, by the way. So
there's the Brian Bulaga rant. I think we lost that one. There's the expect 30th place to look like rant. I'm not sure if we have that Minnesota game rant. That's the one. What did you think it was supposed to look like? It's 30th.
Yeah, I thought that was clear.
Well, this is the blame the good players rant was 1 year ago today.
Honestly, I think rants would – they're already bringing a smile to my face, so I'm okay with playing it. I think I need it. Owners in the NFL vote – let's get your headlines because it's already 7:02. And we're just so you know, we were supposed to hit the break at like 55. Owners have voted to expand the playoffs – Brayton's shaking his head – to 14 teams. Brayton, it's making me feel better blowing through the break, just so you know. The one seed is the only team that will get a bye now. The NFL is releasing, well, they're not saying it's delayed, but it's delayed. Now the NFL schedule will be out probably after the draft, no later than May 9th. The NFL is still planning on a full season with fans in the stadiums. Tom Brady will wear number 12 in Tampa in case you were losing sleep over that. Jacksonville's getting trade calls on Yannick Ngakoue. The NHL told its players to continue self-quarantining through at least April 15th. And, well, that's what you need to know. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
And your update there was brought to you by Federal Meats. Federal Meats is here for the community with quality fresh food and service that you can depend on. Phone ahead ordering and quick pickup is available at all Federal locations.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.